Ouch. Happy Thursday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, coming to you live on Memorex from the default location, seemingly undetoured route. Well, actually, it's supposed to be still detoured because of the legacy signs they've been having out here saying that this path has been closed for the last 2 years, but all the barriers have been taken down. So, seems like we're back to quote-unquote normal. You can see the work that they did, and it is significantly better, probably for the bike riders. Cleaned up a lot of those humps that the trees created along the side, which should expand how far to that side of the road the bikers can get. And maybe they can stay the hell out of the walking lane. Because I was just walking up here today and somebody was riding in the walking lane. And so my thing is to, like, not right there. This person just went by and they was in they was over too far on my side. Somebody just went by and they were in the lane closest to me for whatever reason. I'm still on COVID protocol, and I may have been on COVID protocol before COVID. Stay away from me. Personal distance. Personal distance, personal space, even in cars. Don't drive up close to me. If I go in a movie theater and I sit down in one place, you go sit the farthest away from me. And that's just my natural instinct. Whenever I walk into a place and I see somebody standing, I just naturally gravitate to the space that's the farthest away from everybody. And I guess everybody ain't like that. In fact, ain't no guessing. I know damn well everybody ain't like that. People are gregarious. They like to stay together in groups. I guess socially, I can see how that could have evolved in us. Safety in numbers, blah, 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 blah. And some people just aren't, you know, maybe put off by the presence of other people the way that I am. The presence of other people the way of I am. And speaking of which, I was thinking about my arrangements that I have to make to go to see the Brides of Funkenstein on October 12th and then go to Vegas and see the Steelers play against the Raiders. My boy Rick, living in Northern California, me and him used to go to the games together. You know, more than likely he might want to hang out and, you know, go see the Bride show too. Cause music like that. You know, he ain't a P-Funk cat like, you know, many of us are. You know, but he into the music. Producer, he's got a studio in his house and all that. But I'm thinking, do I want to make plans with him? Because Rick has got to be part African, because he goes at his own pace. He goes at his own pace, and my grotesquely early suffers. And I just might have to say, look, dude, I can't. I'm a book mine. I'm gonna fly in early. I'm gonna fly in, you know, this way. You know, I'm gonna be on a schedule and I can't be waiting on other people. I'm just not used to it, especially him. He'll be late. And by late, I mean, he'll get to the concert after the start. No problem. Boy, I remember, in fact, one time I went with him to a P-Funk show. You know, yeah, I was up in North. So I hung with him and drove with him. I vowed I'd never do that again. And knowing that, he left early. I was like, nope, can't do that, dog. I can't do that no more. That's on me. I can't put myself in that position no more. It's not you. Well, it could be you. It could be y'all. You and other people who, you know, who think being a little bit late or being late is okay. Because you may or may not have an excuse about family, this or that, family, that or that. No. Of course, there are some things more important in your life that you have to tend to. I agree. And things come up. I agree. But, no. When Jeffrey trying to get to the game at a certain time, and you don't make it there at the time you say, and Jeffrey is there 20 minutes early waiting for you, and you don't be there, I can't take it. It's me. I'm not that forgiving. I'm not that understanding. And the life I live now, I don't have to be. And that's probably the big thing. That probably is a big point into it. I don't have to be accommodating. I don't have to be understanding. I don't have to be compromised. Because I can handle things on my own and have things the way I want them. And I'm used to having things the way I want them, how I want them. And that's probably another part of it that I'm used to. So I'm thinking, instead of putting him in a position, put me in a position like that, you know. And like I said, and hanging with him, it works out. It pretty much works out. I ain't gonna lie, it works out. But it's just that I just gotta adjust my thinking. Like, you know me, I like to be at the airport 2 hours ahead of time. Rick, it's a chance, you know. You know, he'll say it, then he'll get up, and he'll just be da-da-da-da-da-da. And you know, I'm just used to doing things myself. So I got to think about how I want to handle that. Weekend. Go up there by myself, maybe get a room, get a car, do all the arrangements and lodging myself, pay for it, you know, of course, handle everything, you know, instead of just staying with him. And, you know, riding with him, no car, he probably pick me up, you know, go ahead and pay for a car, go ahead and pay for a hotel, you know, so, or have a car. Because I wouldn't want to stay with him and have a car. And we end up going to the same place that I leave early. And then he leave, we go to the same place, but, you know, I got to see how that's going to work out. And plus, I may want to see somebody flying by me when I'm doing a beeper thing on them bikes. So I got to see how that's going to work out, how I want that to work. You know, maybe I say, all right, man, I'm getting a car. I'm getting a car in a room. And you can come up. No. Well, yeah, he could come up. Yeah, he could probably come up. I'd even get a room. In fact, I would get a room. No, and I like being in a room by myself, too. See? In fact, when we went to Luxor, last Vegas trip, we got two separate rooms. And them rooms was $500. We had to get separate rooms because, you know, he'd be up all night going in and going out, you know, doing this thing. He don't got to sleep, it seemed like. Me, you know, after things is over, 9:30, 10 o'clock, I go get my goodies, my snacks, which at Luxor cost me $1 million because the only stores around on the strip was that little convenience store they had inside the doggone Luxor, paying $5-6 for cookies and like $3 for soda. I think I paid $5 for a 1 liter bottle of soda. When in Rome, kissed my ass. But anyway, but staying at the Luxor was nice because then we just walked to the game. You literally just walk to the game. Luxor, they got like a little path. Just walk over to the game. So, you know, what you pay in, you know, extra money for the room, you kind of get back in convenience. Because that was probably the best stadium exit I've made ever, possibly. Quick and easy. Just walked. Literally, just waited till people left. You know, waited, you know, let some of the people trickle out. And then kind of make your way through the crowd and get through there. So, I don't know. I think I just made up my mind now. I got to do my own thing. I think I'm a book it. San Francisco. In fact, as soon as I get out of here, I'm going to book my flight. The flight from San Francisco to Oakland. Get that one out of the way. That's the important one. Get that one booked. And go from there. And I think there's one, leaving at 8, get to Vegas at 10 something. Game is at 1. and get to Vegas at 10. You know, I like to walk in this stadium as soon as the doors open. And I think the plane lands. You know, like plane lands and you gotta, you know, when people get off the airplane, they get out the airport. Last time I did that, I walked from the airport to the hotel. And we gotta see if we're gonna get a hotel room for that night. Maybe get a hotel room Sunday night. You know, the Monday. Fly back out Monday. I gotta check all that. Maybe fly back out Sunday night. Fly back to LAX Sunday night. I don't know. I gotta check all that. Might not even get a room, you know? Might not even get a room. And just do it like that. That means I'll be traveling with just my book bag, minimal clothes. I've done that before. That's no biggie. So, computer, you know, my laptop, blah, blah, blah. So, and go to Brides, fly up there Saturday. Like, I'm glad it's Saturday morning. Get a room Saturday, Sunday. Yep, get one room Saturday, Sunday. Up by the airport. Get a car if I need one. Because I think I'm going to do is go back and forth to the show. Get a car. Might even do Uber. I don't know. But anyway, see, that's fun. That's what I like to do. That's the fun part of this whole thing. Planning it out. Strategizing out. And I think I just talked to myself. Ain't no way. You know. But see, the only thing about that, though, with Rick, and if I'm hanging with him, I stay with him, he be up all night. Talking and playing music. He don't sleep. He got a comfortable-ass couch, though. Ooh, that couch is comfortable. I sleep on there. He got a big screen TV. Really nice place. Really gorgeous place. You know, really, really nice place if I stay with him. And comfortable kitchen, food, everything, you know. So it's just got a pool outside. If, you know, if I wanted to partake in something like that, hot tub even, you know, it's just like that. So I got to see. And I guess the case would be, will we make it to the airport on time? And I guess that's the only thing I'm worried about. And I ain't worried about that. But also getting to the show and leaving the show. See, getting to the show and leaving the show. Because I might want to hang out and stay late, you know, and just let things happen. Or if something jump off, maybe I want to go in that direction. You know, that freedom right there is important. Or maybe I want to do something during the day or not. Or maybe if I don't, you know, either way. I just know hanging with Rick is going to be busy. It's going to be busy. And he's going to be trying to do stuff the whole time. So I got to think on that. You know, do I want to have some freedom? The availability of free time? You know. Do I want to be open to other possibilities of stuff going on? Or will I be locked into, you know, what he's doing? Or what we, as a group thing, me and him. Well, so we'll see. I said, all right, dude. I just meet you at the flight. I'll see you at the thing. But if you come to the show, you know, if he come to the show, we see him at the show, and I got a room, blah, 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 you know. You never know, because he does stuff, so. You know, I'm just talking it out. But, not sure why I went down this road. Probably because of being late and compromising, depending on other people, blah, blah, blah. So we'll see how that goes. And it's fun. It's fun. And that's first of all, it's the Funketeers. First of all, it'll be Ohio for 2 weeks. And then Funketeers ball. Then I come home. And then the next week, the next Saturday, L.A. Maggots in down in Leimert Park or whatever that is, Barbara Morrison, L.A. Maggots on October 5th. And then the week after that, it's the Brides of Funkenstein and the Steelers. So There's going to be some expenditures in financial expenditures and energy expenditures and time. You know, I got to do this, do that, come this way, do that. Need to text my sister, let her know my schedule. It's usually towards the end of the month is when I stay with my mother. So I got to let her know, you know, that I'll be leaving town. And I probably need to go out there and spend some time with her before I leave. Blah, 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 blah. All that, you know. Give my sister a break or whatever. See my mother. So, you know, you got to orchestrate all that. But overall, people, things are good. Things are good. These are the things in my life that, you know, are pending or whatever you want to call it. So, if that's all I got, you know, what else is there? If that's all I got, what else is there? That. And also, I'm thinking, this weight loss thing, it's a lifestyle. It's not even a struggle or a battle. It's not about checkpoints or metrics, which I completely have all over this thing, and I seem to enjoy. But I'm realizing it's a lifestyle. You just got to start doing it and just keep doing it. And not only just keep doing it to, you know, keep the weight off or whatever, because it takes that long. It's like a long game. This isn't something, well, maybe when I was younger, the weight would just fly off. But it's not coming off like it used to. Maybe because I'm still eating 2-3 hot dogs a day or whatever. Maybe because I'm, you know, not starving myself or as strictly disciplined with my calorie intake as I have been in the past. That's probably, you know, a good reason. But this is something that I'm watching my weight fluctuate, go up, down, up, down, up, down. But the downs will be lower than the previous down. It'll go down like 213, then it'll go up to 217, but then it'll come down to like 212. I mean, those are just rough numbers, something like that. You know, because it's taking a long time. And if I look back over, you know, for all the fluctuations, you know, the fluctuations go like this. If I look at the average, it's really going slow down, you know, and I'm riding on those peaks. I'm riding every peak. I'm like, you know, focus on every peak and up and down. And I kind of enjoy that. You know, I'm triggered or stimulated or enthused by those ups and downs. Where really, I should be looking at the long-term game, the long game, to where, you know, you look at the average of what you're doing here. It's fun. I'm enjoying it, regardless of how I'm doing it, to a degree. Getting out here. Ain't missed a day of walking since February. I had 10,000 steps every day since February. Getting out here. Especially now that I got my new long sleeve sweatshirts. See, I'm wearing the blue one today. So I wonder if Thursday would be blue. Yesterday I wore the tracksuit. I wore my stuff in my sauna suit, which would give me a day 7. Because I got 7 of those things, but I probably won't wear the white one. I should run. There you go. Let me do this. Everybody look up. Everybody look up. Woo! Now I still got 20 seconds. Don't matter. Still needed to run. Felt good to run. Hey, what's up, man? I be seeing people I ain't seen in a while. I ain't seen him in a while. I was wondering where he went. This dude be walking so cool that I thought he was black. But then I said, no, he must be Middle Eastern or something. He be walking so cool. And I said, he must be black, or, you know, with a cool Middle Eastern cat. Then I heard him talk, sound Hispanic. He had a nice little cool little walk on. But anyway. So, what was I saying? Yeah, this is, you know, it's the long game. It's a long game to the point to where it's just a long game. Long game, and you know that you just, it's a long game. You just gotta play it. Play it that way. It's just a matter of knowing it's gonna take a long time. Knowing it's gonna be. Try to hold it with my left hand now. See what happens if I hold it with my left hand. Knowing that it's gonna be I'm trying to find a nice pivot point to where it balances kinda. See these things be flying by? See? And they scare you too. They startle you too. People flying by. And I'm just, you know, they ain't aware. I'm not aware. When I'm walking, they're not aware flying by, or they are aware, or whatever. Either way, need to use their ringers. In fact, a lady used their ringer yesterday or the other day. I'm so happy she used it, I wanted to tell her thank you. Talking about startled. Speaking of being startled, yesterday, on my way to work, I get off, you know, I go down, drive downtown, and admittedly, if I get there early, I will drive through the Skid Row section just to see the apocalypse. And more than once, I've gotten out my 360-degree camera and shot video of it because it is amazing. It's just amazing what we have come to, what this has come to. It's just amazing what this all has come to. I don't want to say depravity, even though there's some of that down there, just the mental illness and nakedness and just horrific, not horrific, but just some of the people, the condition they're in, mentally and physically, sores and dirty, and just, and they're all over. It's like they took over a whole area. It's some streets you ride down, it's like furniture in the middle of the street. Tents like set up in the middle of the street, it's just blocked. They just got it like blocked off. You know, just you see people, hundreds of people just hang outside, look like they're living there. Or it's just, and then you get used to it. And the part that kind of gets me is you see this part, you know, you see somebody half naked, no shoes, no shirt, sores all over the body, dirty dirt, you know, hair, teeth, whatever. And then you look around, you just see regular gentrified people. And I say gentrified, not meaning race so much, but just, you know, affluent people. You know, regular middle class, whatever people, working people. Just walking right by them, stepping right over them. And as I said before, the people down there, and one thing I do like though, is the people down there who, you know, maybe bought property, actually bought condos and bought lofts and all that down there, or actually rent and pay rent and stay down there, they feel entitled to that, and they should. They walk around like they're not gonna give it up. We're not gonna be scared of this. This is, we are in, it's like we are in the right. You homeless people aren't supposed to be here, and we're not gonna give into it. You know, we're not gonna succumb, because you see some people, like my supervisor, you know, a little 5 foot or whatever, white female, she lived down there. She walk around down there. She ain't scared. You know, and I told her, I said, what it probably is your experience doesn't match what a lot of people think it is or should be, or whatever that means, you know, not should be, but a lot of your experience doesn't match what we think it is, you know, because she ain't scared, you know, probably like me with the racism stuff, you know. People look at me as a black man, probably think, oh, okay, you think he this? I'm like, no, I never experienced any of that. You know, no, I don't. Don't project that on me. I've never experienced any of that. So I don't know what you're talking about. What? You ain't never? Nope. So you saying it don't exist? No, I'm not saying it don't exist. I'm saying at the least that I've never experienced it. And maybe at the most, or maybe at the best, that it's not as widespread as you calling it out to be. And it's not as significant or a barrier or a hindrance to you as you want it to be. So, you know, you see her walking around down there, and she ain't scared. But anyway, walking around down there, you know, I get off the, you know, park in Pershing Square, which is right there, like right by the, one of the hubs of, it's on the outskirt of the really, really bad part, but Pershing Square metro terminal, you know, you get some people hanging out there, you know, in that area, in the park, there's a park there. You get some people that hang out there, if you know what I mean. And it's kind of dicey, and I don't mind it. You know, I want a little bit of that. So, you know, it's close and it's easy, it's convenient, and I know the routine to park there, so I just pay my 20 every time I gotta go into work. And so I get out, I walk, and I'm looking, and I see this leg up in the air. I see a leg and a foot, you know, bare leg, bare foot up in the air, in the position. And I'm like, what is, and I'm looking around, and now, cause I'm kind of far across the street, I ain't got my glasses on. I'm still kind of far from it, but you can see it, and you can see it, you know, but kind of, you know. And I look at it, and I look around the people, see if from what I remember, people were standing around there, you know, like it was at a bus stop or something. It was on the street. It was where, like, you know, some of the homeless people lay there, and where you see regular, you know, business people, whatever, walking by, or, you know, people going their way to work. And as I remember, you know, they were like laying there, and I get closer, sure enough, two homeless people, whoever they were, out there getting it on, doing what they do, having sex right there. I'm like, what? Because you can see the leg up, and you can see the motion, the pumping, the you know, kickback from the pumping motion. And I'm looking, I see the dude, you know, obviously he got a smile on his face, like, you know, whatever. But the girl or whatever was covered up, like, completely in a blanket. It was, like, completely in a blanket, and the only thing out was her leg. You see him hitting it, like laying on her side. And as I walked by, she kind of did the covers, and I looked down. It looked like a completely naked. From what I saw, I didn't see never her body. I just seen her, like, her neck and shoulder, you know, down. Looked like she was completely naked, under that blanket, completely covered up, you know. And I was like, what the hell? And I looked at him, and CB was doing, I saw her, and then she covered back up. You couldn't see her no more. All you see was her legs sticking out, and he was hitting it. And I'm like, what? And I turned around and looked back, because, you know, when these things happen, you can kind of startle. You're like, did I just think I saw what I saw? And then I'm also looking back saying, am I the only one who don't think this is super crazy? Everybody else is walking by like, you know, nothing, mind their own business, which they probably should do. But that ain't necessarily my thing. I'm like, what the heck? You know? I'm like, yeah, I don't see this. But, you know, I'm on my way to work. I'm trying to stay in that mindset. You know, I'm on my way to work. I'm trying to stay. In that mindset. And to be, you know, let me see, I left at 9:10. And so it's gonna be, maybe I can get up early, leave early. I like to get home. I've been liking to get home a little bit earlier lately, but maybe I don't need to. Anyhow, I was looking at the time versus how much time I walk versus how much time I gotta walk back, and estimating what time I get back there. But anyway, So that whole thing was startling to me. It was troubling to me to a degree, as much as I'm going to be troubled by something like that, you know, on a relative scale. It touched me, and I don't mean like touched me in kind of no weird way. The fact that I even recognized it, and for it to have any kind of emotional, if that's the word I can use, response to it, to even say I had that, you know, for me, it's kind of a lot, you know. And it was, I wouldn't say it was gross or horrific or nasty. It was more, what have we come to? You know, I was just more about, I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm more about, more like, what have we come to? What have we devolved or evolved? What are we becoming? What is this? That where something like this is, you know, almost normal. And does it really even matter? You know, is it really a big deal? And full disclosure, there was an erotic twinge to it. There was something sexually erotic about the whole thing. That, you know, I am a male, and I do think the way boys will be boys. So I was like, you know, there was a little tinge of that. But it was more almost like a concern about where all this may end up, where we all may end up as a society. You know, if we're getting used to stuff like this, or this is just so widespread, you know, the ramifications of that, or is this an indication of how things could be or get worse, or, you know, how much are we allowed? Are we not? Should somebody say something? Should somebody do something about this? And I'm talking about not just people having sex on the sidewalk, but the whole homeless thing. You got to see this homeless stuff down in LA. You got to see it to believe it. You really do got to see it to believe it. And I got video. Maybe I'll chop this up and post a video. In fact, I think I might do that. I may chop this up and post video and make something more of a, not documentary, but, you know, add to it instead of just posting this raw. But it's, I went to work to, you know, to my coworker. I'm still processing it, and yeah, and I probably still am. I was like, what? You know, it could be nothing. You know, maybe. You know, hippies been doing it for years. I mean, quote unquote, you know, the stereotypical, you know, hippie, you know, the Santa Cruz kind of free spirited, free love, you know, you kind of think of that in California. And I used to be down with that. I used to think I was one of them, or I wanted to be, but I ain't. I'm approved, in fact. It's like certain things are supposed to be done behind closed doors. Certain things should be done behind closed doors. There's certain things you should display publicly, and certain things you may not shouldn't. That's just me, the way I think. But see, in this act, with them out there doing it like that, that was more exhibition. That wasn't something that should be, you know, behind closed doors, because that was deliberate. You know, look, we being nasty. You know, I get that part. You know, or they just, you know, mentally gone. It's like I saw the lady naked there. You know, she definitely didn't look to have all her facilities. You know, something was going on. You know, and she was trying to get it. They was trying to get it right there on the sidewalk. People around, right by a bus stop, right at the corner. Fifth and Broadway, or Fifth and, not Broadway, Fifth and Hill. I was like, wow. I was like, wow, okay. So that kind of hit me. It was interesting. And now that I think about it, I should have got my video camera out. And oh, and then when I'm walking back, I'm still trying to process it. Did I see what I thought I saw? And I looked around to see if other people was like looking or, what was going on. But I kept walking because I wanted to play it off. I don't want to be the one looking like a pervert, even though, TGB was being a little perverty. And I look, and I see the dude stand up. Sure enough, his pants was down. If he had any on, you see his butt. And I was like, oh my. I'm like, oh my. Right there on the street. And I had that same corner about a few weeks ago, I seen a lady just pull her pants down, pull her panties down, take a piss right there, pull them back up, right there, broad daylight right there, smacking them, off on the sidewalk to the, for everybody to see or whatever. But the level of mental illness, I guess you want to call it, I don't know if it's dysfunction, it's just, I don't know if you say they're broken people or, whatever, however you want to call it. It's a lot. It really is a lot. And I don't want to say it's something to see, but it almost is. It's almost, you can almost have tours. you can probably have Skid Row tour bus. Cause, I'm walking later. And I see, obviously families from, look like Europe or something. You can tell they're not from here. Obviously, you can tell they're not from here. And, downtown LA, visiting or whatever. You can tell. And I'm wondering what they're thinking when they see all the homeless people and the people out there. They come to LA and they see all that. And I wonder what they're thinking. They don't seem to be scared. They're definitely leery. They're definitely on the watch out. They're definitely watching out for it. And they're definitely hyper aware of, the surroundings and the people. But I wonder what they think of all that. And this was up by 5th and Grand, where it's not as bad. There's some up there, though. But it's not as bad as you go down to, you go down farther, Central, San Pedro, whatever those streets, Los Angeles Street, Main Street, and 5th and 6th, down in that area. Woo! Woo! But I do remember one time I took one of my ex-girlfriends, the Russians. I was like, we're going to Skid Row. So I wanted her to see it, because as refined as she is and for, the limited stuff she had seen, coming from what I would call a more upper class society, I wanted her to see it. So we went down there, we took a ride through there. Just so she could see it. Remember one time me and her went into a Big Lots, and Big Lots was having a going out of business sale. And the place was almost, it looked like it was ransacked. It was stuff on the ground. Shelves, not turned over, but emptied. It was just it looked like it had been ransacked, literally. And it triggered her. She didn't like that. She didn't like that at all. She wanted to get out of there. Well, I was just like, ooh, walking around, stepping over stuff. She didn't like that at all. In fact, she didn't like the 99 cent store. She got mad at the 99 cent store. She was like, 99 cent? Everything ain't in there ain't 99 cent. You go in there, they gonna get you. I was like, no, let's go. Come on, let's go. Cause she had never been to a 99 cent store. I was like, come on, let's go. And she went in there, started looking at stuff. And she started seeing some of the quality stuff, that she was used to, or some stuff that she had to take a double look at to see, this is 99 cent? Because sometimes 99 cent store be having some stuff in there now. Like some dishes or some crystal or something. I remember looking at it and she going, whoa. She still didn't like the place. But she knew I liked it because I go in there get my candy and stuff. She would say, all right, you can go to your 99 cent store and get this. And some stuff she wanted from from there. Yeah, when you go to the 99 cent store, get some of this, you know, if you need it for cooking or whatever, foil or, you know, whatever. Go to your 99 cent store. Go to your 99 cent store and get some of this or get some of that. I was like, okay. I mean, because there's different levels. There's different classes. There's different levels of everything. And we need that. And I'm a fan of that hierarchy. And if not a hierarchy, that horizontal distinctions where they're all equal, but you have to acknowledge the distinction. But if they're not all the same, that means some will be better at some things than others. And there's no denying that. There's no way around that. If they're different, some would be better. There's gonna be some fish. Fish are different than bears. Fish swim better than bears. It's just different. Human beings. Human beings are gonna be different. Human beings are gonna be different. Some human beings are gonna be better at this. Some human beings are gonna be better at that than others. No way around it. It's just the way it is. No matter how you want to look at it, that's just the way it's going to be. And because we aren't equal, equity and equality or whatever, I don't know how you want to call it, but we're not all the same. We are differences. There are some differences and some going to be more capable than others. That's why you got A students and you got B students. You got people who make the NFL and you got people who don't. You got quality players and you got subpar. You got to be able to rank them. Everybody don't need to get a trophy. There's going to be winners and losers. And I like it that way. That doesn't mean that one person is better than another. It just means we ain't the same. For certain activities, certain projects, certain endeavors, some people are going to be better suited than others. And if you really want to get down to it, you could probably look at it to the point where it seems certain demographics are better than others at certain things. And you got to look at the data to see if that's true. You got to look at the data to see if that's true. 13% of the population of the United States is black, yet the NBA is like 70% black. I mean, data. I mean, you got to look at it that way. Something that's a trend. That's more than just a trend. But, and then you got IQ scores. And you got cognitive ability. Some people are cut out differently. Some people are molded differently. Some people are emotional. Some people are tactical. Some people are good at math. Some people are not. Now, I'm not cutting those down, demographic lines or race lines, yet. You know, I can't think of a study or something that I can refer to that would do that. I'm not saying I don't believe it. I'm just saying I'm not making that point right now. I'm not saying that maybe certain races or certain demographics might be better at math than others. Some might be better at dancing than others. Some might be better at running than others. Some might be better at rhythm. Some may be better at tactical thinking or practical. Some may be more violent. I'm just saying maybe. So I do believe in hierarchy. I do believe in differences. I do believe that though there is hierarchy in some aspects and there are differences across the board, that doesn't make one a better person than the other. It may make him a better football player, better at math, better dancer, better this, better that. But overall, I haven't reached a point. Okay, I got it. I haven't reached a point where I can call one person better than another because we don't know what the goal is. We don't know what the goal of this life is. We don't know what the point is. We don't know what we're shooting for, so we don't know what's needed or what's the best to get there. We don't know what our whole reason for being here, what is success? What defines success for life? To continue. Who the best? If the best in life are those who continue, that means that pretty much all the money and this and that and this are off the board. It's just who has the genes and the will and the makeup to survive. Not if you're rich, if you got this, if you're smart, if you can read, if you can code and whatever. Political doesn't matter. The gut, survival. And that could be somebody living in Appalachian Mountains who are definitely more capable of surviving in a catastrophe than I am. Shoot, I get all my food from the stores. It's like, groups of villages or whatever, communities that survive all everything on their own. Farms of families where they have everything they eat and drink and all that. They make and manufacture and kill and do it all themselves. If all the electricity went out and all the food supply chains ended and there was no delivery of food to grocery store, all that, I'm doomed. A lot of me is doomed. Millions of people are doomed. And all of a sudden, all these people in Appalachia or whatever, who off the grid, got their own farms and family and their little bunker and all their guns and their goats and their milk and their lifestyle to which the kids was raised to understand that practice and know how to work a farm or that kind of life, they'll have the upper hand in surviving. And so, because we don't know. We just don't know. We think right now it's education, assimilation, being part of society. Obviously, it seems like internet somehow, connectivity, communication, all that seems to be presented to us as being successful. Having a house don't mean nothing. Having a house ain't got nothing to do with success. It got something to do with wealth. Does wealth have something to do with success? Well, wealth does have something to do with the longevity of a human life. It seems people with higher credit scores or higher incomes live longer, get better access to treatment, better access to, medical and maybe even knowledge and, tactics and suggestions and how to live and Trader Joe's and all that stuff. But we don't know. And I'm just brainstorming. I'm just throwing stuff out there, trying to brainstorm into a different thought about this. Because we just don't know. We don't know what the goal of life is. So we can't say one human is better at life than the other. We only can define it on the terms of life that we've grown accustomed to. Maybe through the media or through ourselves. Because, okay, it could be just that the best life is having a family. Having a family, raising kids. That, if you really think about it, that is probably the highest ultimate thing. Having a family and raising good kids, raising the next generation. That can tangibly be easily argued that is the highest and best endeavor a human being can do. That is probably the highest and best endeavor. You can probably easily make that argument. Raising children. Now, anything above and beyond that, like a mother becoming a mother and becoming a CEO, and then so it goes back to, then what's wrong with being a stay-at-home mother? Because right now, if you get up and you say, oh, I just want to be a stay-at-home mother. I don't want to work. I want my husband to go to work and bring the money back and this and that and this and that. And I know people in that situation. They're almost put down. You're almost shunned. The media and the people out there, that's not the portrayal of the female they want. In fact, now you watch TV, females dominating everything. Female in every role. And the male especially the white male, is always the villain. You got, in fact, the fight scenes now are all women. And there's the masculinity has been taken away. So if you're a woman that says, no, I just want to wear dresses and wear pink and look pretty and stay home and be a housewife, you know, and do that, just raise my children, you're almost shunned. You know, that's not the image that this new, I don't want to say new generation, I'm not sure if it's the generation. I think it could be the generation, but the generation don't even know what's wet. It probably doesn't even know that there's an alternative. They probably was raised to think this way, super female, super woman. You can do it all, you don't need a man, blah, 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 blah. You know, don't depend on the man, you know. It's probably raised to that point that where they probably can't even understand that there's another side to it, where there's women who just want to have kids and stay home and be a wife. Who's to say that's not the way to go? Who's to say that's not success in life? I can't, even though it's nothing I want to do, nothing I can see myself doing. You know, it's nothing I can actually see myself doing to kind of drift out of thought and back in by saying the same thing twice. I don't see myself being that, but I can't put that down. You know, like my son, I even get personal. That's what he's doing. I don't see it. I don't see myself being happy that way. But maybe for him, that's what he needs. Maybe that's what he wants. Maybe that's what he's drawn to. And maybe, you know, with the birth of his son in a situation that could probably work for everybody involved, maybe that's what he needed. Maybe that's what he wants. Maybe that's all he ever wanted, you know? Of course, I think all that personality he got from me is being wasted back there in Youngstown. But, and to a degree, all my personality, blah, 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 you probably could say it's being wasted too. Well, not wasted, but not fully exploited. Maybe I need to take it to another level. Maybe I need to keep going. Maybe I should be doing more than what I'm doing. It's because I'm out here in LA, swinging and dancing, doing whatever I want, hanging with folks, doing this, doing that, music, the whole thing, whatever I'm doing, you know? Working for a big law firm, blah, blah, blah. You know, who's to say that, and the other thing I'll say, who's to say him being that family person, small town Youngstown, you know, just working, coming on to his family, you know, loving his kids, maybe that's all he needs, maybe that's all he wants. You know, he got the personality. Maybe he put that personality into his children and create offspring. Create offspring, you know, that quote unquote better, whatever better means. So since we don't know what better means, maybe he create better offspring for Jeffrey Mitchells. You know, maybe the time he's not out here doing, you know, all this stuff I'm doing, he got straight on his family, being there for his family, raising his family. And to create a quote unquote better adult, whatever better means. I'm just saying better because, you know, just to, I can't think of the right word. I don't feel like explaining it. So who's to say? You know, who's to say? Yeah. So I'll go back there and I'll monitor that situation and see how they doing. You know, if they need anything, you know, how he is, how happy, you know, see how the relationship with him and his girl are, how stable or how sound that is. You know, the whole thing. You know, check on my family. See how's it going, you know. See if there's anything I can do, any advice I can give, you know, interject in a way that could help them out or not help them. I mean, not help, but help them out, you know. That whole thing. Who's to say? Anyhow, how did I get here? I always start talking about seeing homeless people have sex on the street, to hierarchy of individuals, to different classes of people, to people not, nobody, no one person being better than another, regardless of the class or differences between them. But that the differences between them, some will be more capable than the other. And we don't know what success is in life because we don't know what the goal of life is. But maybe raising children is the highest, most noblest thing, if noble is the word, that we can think of, that I can think of right now, at least. Best, easiest way, at least I could say, raising kids is probably the highest thing I can think of right now. Probably nothing more prestigious or precious, well, not precious, prestigious or important than raising the next generation. So, and just because it's not for me, doesn't mean it's not for my son. Maybe that's what he wants to be. And maybe all that personality he got from me won't be wasted in Youngstown. Small town. I mean, I'm LA. I ride in LA. I go to work once a week and I love it. I love driving into the downtown metropolitan. I think I need it. I was riding the streets just, you know, I get there a little early. So I just kind of, you know, cruise around a little bit. And just looking at the people and the traffic and the history, and just being the skyscrapers, just being down there in it, being a part of it. I need that. I need it. And I'm smart enough to know, I've said many times, and it's no biggie to understand that everybody doesn't need that. I get it, but I guess I gotta be reminded of it sometime. You know, I need it. I love it. LA swang. I see them buildings, I just love being a part of that. But everybody doesn't. And I always thought that, you know, oh, that's what I want for my kids. Nope, they don't particularly care for it. I mean, they like, you know, coming to California, and they like, you know, coming out visiting and all that. But they back there with their mama, and their mama don't need that. Their mother's totally happy in Youngstown, you know? I can visit Youngstown. I love being from Youngstown. And like I said before, the from part is important. I don't think I would be happy if I was there, but I love visiting. I'm proud of the place. I love being from Youngstown, being a Youngstowner, born and raised. I love visiting. I love the food. I love the weather back there. I love the sidewalks, everything. I even love the fact that I don't love the South Side where I grew up, how it is decayed and devolved into something almost horrific. Even that part that I don't like, I love. Right now, I don't even go over there no more that much. I don't even go on the South Side that much anymore. Because it's depressing. It puts you in a different mood. You gotta like be on guard. It puts you in a different mood, a different mindset. And so, and it's hard to rebound from that sometimes. Not hard, but you know, it gives you a different energy. It takes you to a different place. And you sometimes you just can't shake that off. You just gotta, you know, ride with it until it wears off. Cause if you go back there and you go to Boardman, you know, where it's like lights and it's businesses, and, you know, you got your Red Lobsters and your South Park malls and all the Burlington coat factories and lights and, you know, festivity energy. I said, well, why do you like this place? This place could be a tourist attraction. Go on the South Side, all the houses are gone. Or there's a lot of them just empty, vacant, doors missing, trees growing all kinds of places, fallen houses, dilapidated, deer running around. You know, it's a different thing. It's a different thing. Anyhow, my name is Jeffrey, and I live and love in Los Angeles. I live and love in Los Angeles? No. Do I live in Los Angeles? Yeah, I live in Los Angeles. No, not really. That don't sound right. That ain't me. I live and I love Los Angeles. I live in and I love Los Angeles. In the big city, the metropolitan, and what it has to offer. And the weather and all that. I was gonna say in earthquakes, but I don't. Even though I'm kind of getting used to them. Still, we've had a couple recently and probably getting back to our normal. You know, I think we were going on a span where we wasn't having any. You know, I don't even like talking about them. I don't even like talking about them. Because they are scary, and I compare them to the tornadoes and hurricanes and severe thunderstorms they have back there. You know, they have them more often than we do, have these earthquakes, but, you know, the earthquakes scare the hell out of you. Earthquakes will scare the hell out of you. Even though that last thunderstorm I was in scared the hell out of me. You know, earthquakes, they rattle you. They will truly rattle you. They scare you, and you just feel the whole earth moving. You talk about no control of anything. You don't know. You know, so yeah, I guess even having that fear, even having to face that, to deal with that, makes life. I'm probably gonna say I even love that part. I could probably say I even love that. It's hard for me to say that though, but it's probably true. I even love having my deep fear of earthquakes and the respect that I have for them, and to the point that I want to say that I love and respect them, so that it doesn't trigger one to happen. Anyhow, I'm talking about it. So we're going to yell two times. For me, for the phone, and for every elementary particle that has ever existed in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. A totality of it all, theory of universe, hypothesis of all as one, hypothesis of everything as one. My name is Jeffrey.